Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Samach Dalad. We're going to begin on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the wide lines. Just to review, the Torah HaKadosha says, a pasuk l'sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, that we're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach when we own chametz. And we learned in the Mishnah yesterday three shittas and what pshat in that pasuk is. Tana Kama held that it means you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach when you have chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says that it also includes the Karban Tamid. And Rabbi Shimon said that in Erev Pesach it's referring to the Karban Pesach, and during Yontif it's referring to all other Karbonos. Also, at the end of this year, we were introduced to a concept that since the pasuk says v'sishcha chametz dam zivchi v'loyolon l'boyke zevach haga Pesach, the Torah connected the isser of owning chametz to the isser of baltolin, of not leaving over. So anybody who is over baltolin is over l'sishchat. That these two lavin travel together. So says Rapapa Hilkach, since we said that these two laven travel together, koin hamaktes a chalif, the koin who burns the chalif, oiver b'lay sasei, he will be oiver in the lay sasei of lay sishcha al-chamz dam zivchi, hoyo v'yeshna b'klal halonis amerin, since there's a lav to leave over the murin overnight, unburnt, and he's the one that's oiver that lav, so since he's the one that's oiver that lav, he is also oiver the lav if he owns chametz. So, there's a few shailas in the Rishonim. One shaila in the Rishonim is that when we say that this koyin is over the lav, what does that mean? Does that mean that he owns chametz and he's over the lav, but it doesn't affect the other people in the group? Or does it affect everybody in the group if he owns chametz? It's a machlokes Rishonim. And the Mefarshim explained that the Mechloikis is based on how do we look at Helonis, how do we look at Haktaris Amrin? Do we look at Haktaris Amrin as a separate avoida, as a separate process from the rest of the carbon? That means the carbon is finished, and now there's a separate avoida called Haktara, only relevant to this person who's doing the Haktaris Amrin, and therefore only he would be Chayiv. It wouldn't affect the other people. Or is it part of the process, and it will affect everybody? Now there's another interesting diyuk. From Rashi it seems that when will the makter be over the lav if he owns chametz? If nobody owned chametz till that point, everybody who was a member in bringing the carbon, everybody who did the shechita and the zrika didn't own chametz, and now he starts to do the hekter and he owns chametz, so we have a problem. What's pshat in Rashi? So Mefarshim explained, Rashi, unlike Tosfos, obviously holds that if the shechita or the zrika were done when somebody owning chametz, the carbon is already disqualified anyway. So once the carbon is disqualified, this person is not, can't be over anymore with a disqualified carbon. There's another shaila in the Rishonim. The Gemara has identified that if a person is a member in the ownership of the carbon, there's a chiv of owning chametz. We've spoken yesterday about the shaychit, the person does the shechita, zrika, and now we spoke about the person doing the hekter. What about the person who does the halacha and the kabbalah, carrying the blood and receiving the blood? Is he chayiv on this lav or not? It's machlokes rishonim. Some say the Miri says he is chayiv because he's part of the process. And others say that only those that are mentioned in the Gemara as being chayiv are chayiv for this lav, anyone else not. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rapapa, we learned in a brass like Rapapa, Shoychas of Pesach al Chametz, Oiver Belezesei. Somebody shecht the Karban Pesach and he owned Chametz, he's Oiver Belezesei. Am is Amosai, when is this said? Bezman Shuil Shoychit, Oil Zoyrik, Oil Echab Nechabura. Hoya Lechet B'Saif Oilem, and like we explained yesterday, Lechet B'Saif Oilem doesn't mean a physical condition, it means that you're not where you're physically located. It rather means that you're not an owner in a zakekloy. Then you're not chayiv. Continues the braisa. Vechra shoychit, vechra zoyrik, vechra makter. So it says very clearly that the makdir is chayif. Av hamoylik es oif baba asr. We know that a bird that's brought as a carbon, even though normally when a bird is killed to be eaten for kosher, we do shchita. When a bird is killed for kachim, we do malika. So the halacha is hamoylik es oif baba asr ain oif b'loy klum. Then there's no problem for only chametz if you did malika. Rashi says that why did the Gemara choose to speak about moilikas oif? So Rashi refers back to something we learned, that a mechusuk apurim, somebody who was tamei for whatever reason and becomes tar, but still has to bring karbonis, cannot eat the carbon pesach until he takes care of that. And Rashi says many of those kaparas, many of those karbonis were birds, so the Gemara chose to speak about a bird. But the Marsha asks, haven't we learned at the beginning of this parak that Erev Pesach, after the Karban Tamid, you're not allowed to bring any Karbanos? Allah Hashlem Karbanos Kulam, first plot of this parak. So Marsha explains that when the Gemara is speaking here by Moilikas Oif, is speaking before the Karban Tamid was brought. And he says it's a Rai in Rashi. Because look at the first wide line of Rashi. Rashi says, the Hainu Acher Chatzois. Why does Rashi tell us it's after Chatzois? Because Rashi is trying to tell us it's after Chatzois, but it's before you brought Tamid. Other Mefarshim explain that the Chiyuv of not being allowed to bring any other Kabbonis is only after the Haktaris Karban Tamid. Here we're talking that he did the Malika Sa'if before the Haktara of the Karban Tamid. And yet another Tarot says that although you're not supposed to bring any Kabbonis after the Karban Tamid, but the Evid, if you did, the carbon is still acceptable. Vermini asked the Gemara a question. It says another brisa. Hashoyches a pesach al chametz. The somni shech the carbon pesach al chametz. Over b'loisa say he's over and alive. Rabbi Hudaima af hatamid. The tamid also you're over that laugh. Amru loy. So they respond to him. Lo amru el b'pesach bavad. It's only regarding the carbon pesach. Emesai. Continues the brisa. Bezman sheyesh l'shoychet or l'zoyrik or lechav b'nei chabura. One of these three people. Hay lechav b'sayfa oylam. Somebody who doesn't own the carbon and zakuk loy. Vechra shoychet, vechra zoyrik, vechra moylik, vechra maza. Somebody does the actual sprinkling. Chayiv. Avol kaimetz es mincha. We know we spoke about it just yesterday. When a carbon mincha is brought, the kain has to take a fistful of the flour which is burnt on the mizbeach, ain't over b'loisa say. Hamakter sa'emrin, similarly says the b'raisa here, that somebody's makter the emrim, ain't over b'loisa say. So ask the Gemara, kasha malika amalika. Here it said that hamoylik is chayiv, and the other one it says that he's not chayiv. And kasha aktara aktara. One place it says that you're chayiv for aktara, another place it says you're not chayiv for aktara. Says the Gemara, if you're looking for difficulties, there's a fundamental difficulty. Ul tameich tikshalach higufa. Let's understand the brisa. The tani loy amr el bepesach bavad. First, the brisa says that on which carbon is there a problem of owning chametz, only guarding the carbon pesach. Vahad tani, and in the very same brisa it says echra shoychet vechra zorik vechra moilik vechra maza, that all of these kabbonis you have a chiyuv of not owning if you own chametz. Says the Gemara, Hala Hava Ha Rav Shimon. We have to explain both brises go according to Rav Shimon. Malika Malika Loi Kasha Kam Baba Asa. On Arba Asa, Rav Shimon holds, as we said at the introduction today, Shir, that the only carbon on Erev Pesach Yichayev when you own chametz is the carbon Pesach. Malika is obviously not the carbon Pesach, it's a bird. That's why you're not Chayev. Kan B'cholamoid. On Chalamoid, Rav Shimon says Yechayev for all Kabbonis. V'idi, Rav Shimon he. Haktar, Haktar, Nami Loi Kasha. One Brisa says that on Erev Pesach, you are Chayev, as we started today's Shir, if you're Makder, the Karban Pesach, and you own Chametz. Another Brisa says you're not. Says the Gemara Tanahi, it represents a Machloikas Tanon. The Ike the Makish Haktar L'Shchita. There is one, the Manda Omer, that's what Rapapa began the shiur with, that says Aktar and Shchita have the same din. And just like somebody who shechs the Karban Pesach and owns Chametz is Chayiv, so too somebody who's Makter the Karban Pesach and owns Chametz is Chayiv, the commander Loi Makish, he says, Shchita, you are Chayiv if you own Chametz, Aktar, you're not Chayiv. Tosfos says that even according to the man the Omer that says that we're not makish haktorah to shechita, and obviously doesn't hold or what Rapapa said, that means he's saying that why don't we hold like Rapapa? Rapapa went and expanded and said that the makdir emrin is also included in the lav, so he says I'm not including him. However, says Tosfos, that everybody will agree that if somebody has no relationship to this Karban Pesach and he owns chametz, that has no relevance to anybody bringing this Karban Pesach, that it should affect him and bring a lav. That hekesh everybody agrees with. The Asfin Deraisa makes also another interesting observation. The Gemara says like this: somebody who does kmitza, taking off the flour from the Karban Mincha when he owns chametz, will not be chayiv for owning chametz if he owns chametz at that time. Somebody who does malika is chayiv. What's the difference between kmitza and malika? Both of them are the equivalent as of the shechit of an animal. So the Asfin Deraisa says there's a fundamental difference. This is really a yesod for all of kachim. He says malika of a bird is the equivalent of shechita of an animal. Just a bird is killed through malika, and an animal is killed through shechita, at least kachim. Kmitza is not the equivalent to shechita. It's the first step in the process. Just like shechita is the first step in the process, but it isn't equal to shechita. That's why malika is treated like shechita, and kmitza is not. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaTamid. Yehuda said that somebody owns the carbon, when the carbon tamid is brought, and the kohen who's bringing the carbon tamid, if he owns chametz, he's over the laf. My tamid, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's psak? Omloch zivchi, my carbon, zevach hamiyuchetli, the carbon that's special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the carbon that's special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? My nihu, the carbon tamid. Like we say in the Parshas HaTamid, karboni lachmi, my carbon. Ask the Sfas Emes, just the opposite. Maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only time you'll be over the lav is only by Karban Tamid and not by Karban Pesach, because as we're saying now, Karban Tamid is so unique. Answer the Sfas Emes, and we spoke about this briefly yesterday. Since there are two psukim, there's one pasuk that says Leisizbach al chametz dam zivchi, that will say refers to the Karban Tamid, and there's another pasuk that says Leishishcha Alchametz Dam Zivchi V'lo Yolin Leboiker Zevach Chag HaPesach, that will say he's going to talk about Karban Pesach. So Yehuda has a separate pasuk for each lav, and that will answer a question that we were asked yesterday. Somebody asked me yesterday, Reb David Gurelik, that we have to, that Tosfos said that we're not chayiv for that the ever the carbon is okay because it's no two psukim. So Reb David asked me, there are two psukim. But according to this, there aren't two psukim, because one pasuk is talking about the Karban Tamid, and one pasuk is talking about the Karban Pesach. So it's not two psukim about the same subject. Continues the Gemara, Rav Shimon Omer, HaPesach Baba Asa, that the Pesach that was brought on Erev Pesach, let's review what Rav Shimon says, then Yechayiv. All other kabbonis on Erev during Pesach, on Erev Pesach, Yepoter. And on Pesach, Yechayiv for everything. My Tamid, Rav Shimon, what's the basis for Rav Shimon's psak? The ksiv, zivchi, zivchi, trei zimni, as we just read, the two psukim that speak about lo sizbach al chametz dam zivchi, or lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, and he tells you what to do is, kerabei, the way to read this is zevach zvochai. Take the yud of one of them and apply it to the other one. So one is talking about zevach, a singular carbon, and one is talking about zvochai, many carbon. Why did the Torah do this? In the time when you have this singular carbon, this unique carbon, which means the Karban Pesach, you will not be chayiv for any other carbon, which is exactly what Reb Shimon says. That in Erev Pesach, you're only chayiv for Karban Pesach, it's only chametz, no other kabbonis. In the time when there isn't this unique carbon, any other time besides Erev Pesach, the rest of the yontif, mechayiv as vachai, yechayiv for all other kabbonis, yechayiv for all the other kabbonis, but not Karban Pesach. There obviously is no Karban Pesach. Like the Mefarshim explained, what Rav Shimon is doing is really manipulating psukim. He takes the word zvachai, zivchi, zivchi, and one in yud he takes away, and one yud he adds. But he's doing this for a purpose, because this is the way he understands the need for the two psukim. Because otherwise, why do we have two psukim that essentially teach us the same din? We try to avoid having two psukim teaching us the same din. If this is why we're doing it, it's legitimate to manipulate the words. Before we say this next piece of Gemara, let's review something. We explained a few times in this parak. Erev Pesach, Yishecht Akarban Pesach L'shma, Gevaldik. If Yishecht it Shaloi L'shma, the first mission of our parak, it's possible. Any other time, if Yishecht Akarban Pesach L'shma, it's no good. It's not Erev Pesach. If Yishecht it Shaloi L'shma, then it's a carbon shlomim, and it's fine. Now the question that our Gemara is going to address is, any other time besides Erev Pesach, if we want the carbon Pesach to be kosher, we designate an animal for carbon Pesach, do we have to have specific intent that I'm shechting it for carbon shlomim? Or even if there's no specific intent, as long as I don't intend it should be a carbon Pesach, it's going to be enough. Do I need specific intent for shlomim or not? So it's said in the Mishnah, let's read the words of the Mishnah. Ubimayid l'shma potter. If you shechted during the yontiv l'shem Pesach, you potter. Why you potter? According to Rav Shimon, because it's a shechita shenaruya. It's a disqualified shechita, because the Pesach during yontiv is not acceptable. So it continues the Gemara. Shaloi l'shma. But if you shechted it shaloi l'shma, that means you had a specific intent for shlomim, which makes the carbon kosher. So it's a shechita aruya. It's like shechting a carbon shlomim on Pesach. And according to Rav Shimon, if you shecht any carbon on yontav when you own chametz, you chayif. So what do we see? Because you had specific intent, shaloi l'shma. But let's say you didn't have specific intent, shaloi l'shma. What would be the din? That's not a shlomim. Ask the Gemara, why do you have that specific intent? Amai, Pesach b'shayim mois shlana shlomim. A Pesach, if it's not Erev Pesach, the carbon automatically becomes a carbon shlomim. And if it automatically becomes a carbon shlomim, why do I have to have the specific shlomim intent? As long as I don't have Pesach intent, it should be enough. Sham ma'amit na. From our Mishnah, we seem to see that Pesach b'shayim mois shlana doesn't automatically become a carbon shlomim. Rather, boyakira, it requires specific intent to make it a carbon shlomim. Says the Gemara, we don't have a raya. Amrav chibar gamda, nizruka mipi chabura v'amru, kigoyin shayu baam tmei meis. Our Mishnah is discussing a situation where the people who designated this animal for carbon Pesach are tamei. Since they're tamei, they can't bring the Pesach rishon. Because like we explained, the tamei can't bring the Pesach rishon. So what are they doing with that animal? They're putting it away. We'll use it on Pesach Sheni. That animal certainly requires specific intent to make it to shlomim. But in a situation where the people weren't tamei, they just maybe relied on a different animal for the carbon Pesach. So there, maybe even without specific intent, it becomes automatically a shlomim. Kegon shal yibam tamei meis. They're going to use this animal on Pesach Sheni. That's when the stam of the animal stands l'shem Pesach Koi. And if you want to use it for shlomim, you have to specifically intend so. Any other way, but if you weren't in such a situation, it would not be required. It becomes a common shlomim immediately. Our Mishnah now, wonderful Mishnah, gives us a little taste. Maybe we'll still have it this year. How it looked bringing the carbon Pesach. HaPesach nishchat b'sholosh kitas. The Karban Pesach was divided into three groups. Klal Yisrael was divided into three groups. Shenem v'shochtu oisoi kol kahal adas Yisrael. Kahal is one group, Eid is the second group, Yisrael is the third group. A machloikis, the Meiri and the Rambam, how to understand this. The Meiri says that this was really a practical consideration. There are a lot of people that can't all fit into the Azara, so they are in three groups. The Rambam says that it's midaraisa, there's a requirement that it be geshocht in the three groups. But even the Rambam agrees that b'di'evit, if it was not done in three groups, it's still okay, it's kosher.
How does one land in a particular
We're going to talk about it. Nichnas akas v'shoina. The first group comes in. Nismala hazara. The hazara gets full. It's worth explaining. We keep on talking about the hazara, the courtyard. Why is it called the hazara? So the Aruch explains. The hazara is the furthest place where most Yisraelim can go. They can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the place where they daven. That's the closest they get. And what does a Jew do when he gets to hazara? He davens to Hashem. And hazara, Kadosh Baruch Hu, helps us. Ezra, he helps us and he listens to our tefillah. Now Ludas Hazara, the doors were closed. Toku Hariva Toku, they blew the shofar. So Zmachlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how many times they blew. Rashi says, as we're going to learn soon, they said Hallel. Before they said Hallel, they blew the shofar Tkiya through Tkiya. Tosfos says they blew it three times. They blew it at the beginning of Hallel. They blew it when they got up to a hafti Kiyishma. And they blew a third time when they got up to Haidul Hashem Kitayif. Hakahanim oimdim shuras shuras. The kahana was standing in rows. Ubiyadeyim bezichei kesef ubezichei zav. And in their hands were pans either made of silver or gold to catch the blood. Shura shakula kesef kesef. Vishkura shakula zav zav. So Sfas Emes says there are two ways of understanding this line. Most explain that they didn't mix rows. It was nice. Either you had a row that was completely silver, or a row was completely gold. Another pshat is, in making the pans, they didn't mix different metals. Either they made it out of silver, or they made it out of gold. Loyim merovim, they weren't mixed. V'lohayu lebzichim shlayim, these pans did not have a flat bottom. Shem yunicham v'yikr shadam. Because we're concerned that, we spoke about this earlier in the parak, if you're going to put the blood down, it'll congeal. And if it congeals, it's not kosher for Zrikas Adam. But if they don't have a flat bottom, they'll hold it, and they'll hold it, they'll shake it, and that'll keep it from congealing. Shachat Yisrael. So Yisrael does the Shechita. So the Rishonim discussed this. The halach is, Rashi and Chumash said this many times, Shechita K'sher B'Zar. That Shechita of a carbon may be done by a Zar. But Tosfos says, in many places in Shas, that although Shechita K'sher B'Zar, L'chatchila, you should use a koyim, even for the shechita. In fact, there's a Rashi Masech the Yevamis that says that if a Yisrael does the shechita, then the halacha is that he's on Shabbos, the carbon is kosher, but he was Mechal Shabbos. Why was he Mechal Shabbos? Because the halacha that carbonus could be brought on Shabbos was only set to Kahanim, not to Yisraelim. So, now the question is, what about Karban Pesach? So the Mefarshim explain, when is this halacha that the Rishonim say, the lechatchila, you should do shechita by a kohen? That's in a Karban Tzibur. Karban Tzibur, lechatchila, all the avoidus should be done by a kohen. A Karban Pesach is a Karban Yochid that every Jew has the obligation to bring. That, since it's my personal obligation, I should do, if I could do the Shechita, mitzvah by Yosef B'shluchai, and if I could do the Shechita, if the Yisrael could do the Shechita, he should do the Shechita. In fact, the Michas Chinuch says, from here it's a proof, that the Kahanim that shech the Korban Pesach are really just shlichim, are just messengers of the Yisraelim. And there's always a dinner, mitzvah by Yosef B'shluchai, if you could do it, better do it yourself than asking a messenger. But there's a Zohar that interestingly says that always it's preferable to have a Yisrael do the Shechita, not just here. Why? Because we're going to learn a Gemara tomorrow that if a Kohen's begodim, if a Kohen's garments get dirty, they get disqualified. Shechita could get quite messy. So that's why the Cheshek Shleimer says, according to the Zohar, we always wanted a Yisrael to do the Shechita to avoid the Kohen's garment from getting dirty. Shachat Yisrael v'kibla koyin. The koyin does Kabbalah because only koyin can do Kabbalah. Nos mechaveri v'chaveri l'chaveri. They pass it along the row of Kahanim. Mekabel samolei. The Kahanim receive the pan full of blood and then they have like an assembly line. Or machzes areikon and they return back the empty one. And koyin akarvetz mizbeach. The koyin that's closer to the mizbeach. Zohar gzricha achz kenegri yisoid. Gives one spritz next to the base of the Mizbeach. Yotze Kosh Rishonah, the first group leaves. v'nichnas akas shniya, then the second group comes in. Yotz sashniya nichnas shlishis. The first, second group goes out, then the third group comes in. K'maseh rishoyin akach maseh shniya. Exactly what was done by the first group is done by the second group. V'ashlishis, and the same by the third group. But there's a very interesting shaila that the Beis Yosef asks. The Mishnah said at the beginning of the Mishnah that after the first group comes in, they close the doors. Why did they close the door? Because it was overfilled. So they didn't want any problems. The same second group. Did they close the door by the third group? There's nobody to keep from coming in anymore. He doesn't know. Because on one hand, there's no reason to close the door. On the other hand, he says, the Mishnah says, everything was identical. Koras ahalal. And now they begin to say the halal. So Rashi says, who says the halal? The Yisraelim, the people who are in the Azara. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says the halal was said by the Levim. And he quotes a Tosefta that says that the Levim say the halal. How does Rashi deal with that Tosefta? So I saw two pshatim. The Aruch HaNer says that what Rashi is going to say the Tosefta means is that the Levim of the, in the Azara of that group said the halal. Or another pshat is the Levim led the Yisraelim in saying the halal. I saw from Hai Goyim that this halal, we didn't say the bracha. Normally when we say halal, you say a bracha. There was no halal bracha said here. Why? So the Brisker Rav explains that this halal, that there are two dinim in halal. This halal, that we have to say halal on Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, and then this halal, which is because of shira, singing. This halal is not the regular halal. It's a special halal of shira, and you don't make a bracha on it. And that's why he explains Al Minig by the Seder. By the Seder, the only time we find in the entire Jewish calendar that we don't say all of the halal in one shot. We say part of it before Shulchan Aruch and the rest after the Shulchan Aruch. How do we split the halal into two? So he says, because this that halal is to commemorate this halal. That halal that you're saying because of halal, you can't split. You have to say the whole halal in one shot. But if you're saying halal because of Shira, then you could interrupt in the middle. So it's a Shira. Karsa halal. Im Gamru, if they finished the halal and they didn't finish bringing it, Shanu, they repeat the halal. Vim Shanu, if they said it a second time, Shilshu, they say it a third time. Apishla Shilshu Mimeyem, even though it never came to that, because they were able to finish everything before the third time. It's Machlaikas how to understand that. That they never started a third time, or they never said the whole halal the third time, they were able to finish before they completed halal. Rehuda Omer, Mimeyem Shokei Shlishis, Legia Lahaft Kiyishma Hashem, Bimnesh Amamatim. Since everybody wanted to be a Zoris, and everybody wanted to do the mitzvah as early as possible, so it never came out that the third group had a very large amount of people, so they were able to finish all the kabbonis before they got up to a half the Yishma Hashem. There's a very sharp revert from the Kotzka. He says, who were the people that were in the third group? They were people that weren't so much in a rush to do a mitzvah. Mimeim Shokei Shlishis, the people of the third group, they aren't Oyav Hashem. A person who's Oyav Hashem isn't lazy. He jumps early to do a mitzvah. Whatever was done during the weekday was done by Shabbos. There's an interesting tshuva from the Ramah. The Ramah was asked this shaila. It seems that in ancient times, you wanted to give more people kibudim. So by a bris milah, one person did the milah, the cut, and the other person did the priya. That's what they used to do. And the question that was asked to the Ramah is, okay, during the week you want to do it, it's fine. How about on Shabbos? On Shabbos you don't want to add more people to doing chil Shabbos. So maybe you should do it only with one mile. So the Ramah brings a proof in this Mishnah. It says, k'masei b'choyel, kach masei b'Shabbos. Just, everything is identical. So bris milah, Shabbos, and weekday is the same, and if you want to use two ma'ilim, you may. El shekahanim adichim tzazara, shloi b'tzayin chachamim. The kahanim used to sweep the floor of the azara, and the chachamim were upset. We'll talk about that more in Mitzvah tomorrow. Before they swept out all of the blood from the azara, they used to pick up a cup of blood from the azara, zorek zrika achas al gavim mizbeach, which they threw to the Mizbeach, the Chacham didn't agree to that. Ketzat toilim afshitim. How was the animal stripped? Unklish or Basil, there were such metal pegs, Haikfu and Bixolim, were up on the walls, either of the Azara or of the butchering area, of Amudin Shvem Toilim Amshitim. And they used to hang up the animal and strip it on these pegs. Like the Mefarsh, like the Rishonim explained. During the year, where there's not that much of a crowd and not that many animals, they used to strip the animal, lay it down on the floor. But here they don't have room on the floor, so they use these pegs. If somebody doesn't have room to do this, they had skinny sticks. He puts it on his shoulder and his friend's shoulder. And like that, they strip the animal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yudal Chachal. I'm sorry, Rabbi Lez Omer, Yudal Chachal Lias B'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Meniach Yad Al Kesef Chaveroi, V'Yad Chaveroi Al Kseifoi. One person put his hands on his friend's shoulder. V'Toyla Mashit. They didn't want to use the sticks. So Rashi says here, why didn't they want to use the sticks? Because you're not allowed to prepare them on Shabbos. Preparing the sticks is also it's chilu Shabbos. Rashi Masech the Shabbos says it's because it's muksa. But there's a very interesting Mishnah Berurah based on that Rashi. The question is, it's a keli shel malach del iser, and we know that a keli shel malach del iser, l'tzarech gufa mekayim. If you need it, you're allowed to move it. So the sticks you need. So what pshat that it's muksa? Says the Mishnah Berurah. From here we see. I think we once discussed this. That even something that's mutter l'tzarech gufay mekaymai should only be used if you have no option. So here we have an option. Use your hands. So don't use muksa l'tzarech gufay if you don't have to. Kairai, they opened up the animal. V'haitzis emerov, they took out the internal organs. Nosna v'megis, they put them into a bowl. V'ktina al gabim mizbeach. Now it's Shabbos. And at Shabbos you can't carry the animal home. So yotza kasr shon of yoshvle b'harbayis. The first group sat on Harabayis. Shnia sat in the chil, that was an area near Ezra's Noshim. Veshlishvim kaimai amedis. And the third group stands in its place. So Rabbi Kivega says a gaval de gavart. He says, look at the Mishnah. He says, the first group sat on the Harabayis. The second group sat in the chil. The third group stood. What did they have to, amedis, what did they have to stand? So he says, because there's a halacha, en yeshiva bazara. Nobody's allowed to sit in the Azara, Ella Malchi Beistabulvad, only people who are Malchi Beistavid. So this group is in the Azara. They can't sit. So I met this, they stood. Chashecha, once it gets dark, Yotsu et Solos Pescheyem, then they went home and carried the Karm Pesach to roast. So the question is, why couldn't they make an Erev and carry it home? So the Meiri says, the carrying of that animal is Muksa. So although Ein Shvus B'Migdash, there's no problem of carrying muks in the Beis HaMikdash if you have no choice, but carrying it outside the Beis HaMikdash you're not allowed to, so that's why they had to stay in there. Tosfos Yontif says there was no Erev in Yerushalayim. Why was there no Erev in Yerushalayim? He says the Gemara says in Masechta Erevin that an Ir Shel Rabim, a major city, even if you can make an Erev, you should leave one area without an Erev. And since it would be confusing not knowing to identify which is that one spot without the Erev, so they didn't make an Erev in Yerushalayim. Am Rabbi Yitzchak says the Gemara, "Ein a Pesach nishchat el begimel kita shel shloishim shloishim bnei adam." The Karm Pesach needs 30 people at a time. My Tama, because as we learned in the Mishnah, it says kol ve'ed of Yisrael. And Sapkalon, we don't know how to define it. Iva bas achas, do you need 30 people at a time, or does it mean b'zachas that you have to have a total of 30, 10, 10, 10? Hilchach. So because we don't know how to define this requirement. Being in Sholish Kitas Shal Shloshim Shloshim Neyadim, we take three groups of 30. Dibbas Achas Ha'ika. If we need them 30 at a time, we'll have. Vibazachazah. And if you need 30, meaning 10, 10, 10, we also have it. So we don't have 10, we have 30. Now, what's going to be if you don't have so many people? Rahman al Tzlan. Hilkach. Becham Shimna Misagi. If you have up to 50 people, there's an Eitzah. What do you do? The island Tos of Avdi. First 30 people should enter the Azara, make the Karm Pesach. Eili Asara. Now, from the 20 people left, 10 should come in. V'nafki Asara. 10 who already brought the Karm Pesach should leave. So I still have 30. But 10, well, now we have 10 more doing it. Aili Asara, then when you finish that group, 10 more shall leave. For Nafki Asara, the last 10 should come in, and the new 10 should come out. So the way we explain the Gemara is that first 30 did it, and then you had 10 new people in the second group and the third group. Other Mefarshim say just the opposite. In the first group, 10 people. In the second group, 10 people do it. And in the third group, you have 30. It's the same 50. So that's why we learned the other way. So we said, Nechnasa Kash Rishayna, we said first the second group, and then the first group, then the second group, and the third group. Every group does the exact same thing. Just La Haloch L'maisa. There's a very interesting Ramah that people aren't that aware of. The Ramah quotes a Maram Mintz. The Ramah says that if somebody davens in a shul, shachris, or any tefillah, then you shouldn't daven in the exact same place but the exact same omid. Why? Because it's begam. It looks like there was something wrong with the first tefillah. And the same thing, he says, the Shmuel says, if you leaned with a Sefer Torah, then you shouldn't lay in the exact same place because it looks like there was something wrong with the first kriya. So Noid of Yehuda says, from our Gemara we see it's not that way. Because the second group and the third group, in the exact same place, in the exact same way, did the same thing. So the Noid of Yehuda explains, what is the Ramah speaking about? The Ramah is speaking about a case where there isn't a minyan kavua. So if you make a new minyan that isn't previously scheduled, it looks like, why are you making a new minyan? Because there was something wrong with the first. But if a shul has set minyanim, then there is no problem. So the Mishnah said that the doors were closed. Itmar. Abaye Amar Ninan Utnan. Abaye says that the doors closed from themselves. Rav Amar Noil Utnan. Rav says they closed the doors. May Benayu. What's the Nafka Minna? Ik Benayu L'Sechanisa. Could you rely on a Ness? Abaye Amar Ninan Utnan. It closed by itself. Kamada Ailumalu, as many people as could go in. Vin Samchina Nissa, we could be Saimachon and Nesta when there are too many people, or just the right amount of people, the doors will close on their own. Ravam and Noilan Tanan. Vloy Samchina Nissa, we don't rely on a Nest. We close the door when we establish that the Zohar is full. So, I saw a Kvasha from the Tzlach. The Tzlach asks, whoever learned Masech the human knows that the halacha is that they used to prepare a second kohen to be in the place, substitute the kohen gadol if he became tamei. So the question is, why can't we rely on a nes that the kohen won't become tamei in Yom Kippur? Here, Rabbi says we can rely on a nes. So the Tzlach says, the Tzlach gives an answer that there's a very big difference. Here, this thing about the door being closed is not required. If the door is not closed, the Karim Pesach is still kosher. That's why, if the door is, even if the door is left open and the nes doesn't happen, it's not so serious. There, if the carbon is brought when the person is tamei, it's much more significant. It disqualifies the kohen gadol, and that's why they don't want to rely on a nes. The Pnei Menachem says a very practical thing. He says, once the kohen gets tamei, we have no eitzah. Here, if the nes doesn't happen, so you close the door. What is the machloikas of Abaye and Rava if we rely on a nes? So I saw a very interesting pshat. The Gemara Masechta Brachos says that when Abaye and Rava were children, they were asked, where is God? So Rava was in the house, and he pointed up. Abaye said, let's go outside. And he pointed up. What was the difference between Abaye and Rava? The answer is, Rava said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. We don't rely on Nisim. He's in the house. Abaye says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over, outside. The miracles are all over. But the Mefarshim ask, in Masech the Brachos it says that Abaye is the one that says that Rishim ben Yechai was Tarosim Nasa. He didn't work, he just learned. And Abaye says, Haba Osu Ke Rishim ben Yechai V'lei Olsim V'yodin. You have to, Elahanik ben Minik Derecheretz, you have to work. Abaye says you can rely on a nes. Why over here is he not relying on a nes? So the answer, there's a difference where the nes is happening. In the Beis HaMikdash you can rely on a nes, but outside in the world you can't rely on nisim. And now, based on this, we can answer a famous question. The Beis Yosef asks, why is Chanukah 8 days? The first day there was no nes. So one of the answers they give is that they saw that they only had enough oil for 8 days. So already the first day they only put in an eighth. So the question is, how could they put in, which wasn't enough to burn a whole night. So the question is, how could they put in so little oil? Ain't some chanal nes, but Abai just told us in the Beis Hamikdash you could rely on an ace.
So Rabbah wouldn't accept that answer.
But there are 100 trutzim to the akasha. V'hadetznan, there's a Mishnah Masecht Igis. The Mishnah Masecht Igis discusses the following subject. The aloch is the mei soita, the water that's given to a soita to drink. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to give it to a giyoris. So the Mishnah said that Shmayev of Talion gave it to a giyoris. So the Rabbi Kavi ben Chal says dugma hishkua. So it's two pshatim in dugma hishkua. One pshat is a Shmayev of Talion were gerim. So they were gerim. They didn't want to show the gerim are treated less, so they gave him. Another pshat, dugma hishkua, is that it wasn't real mei soita. So they were very angry for Rabbi Kavi ben Chal making such a statement. Amar Yehuda, and they wanted to put him into cherim. Chas v'shalom shel Kavi ben Chal nesnada. Kavi ben Chal was not put into cherim. Shein azar nenelas akol odem b'Yisrael. When the azar was full of people, there was nobody more choshev b'chochma b'yiras chait ke Kavi ben Chal. Abai matatz lo tamei. Abai will learn that mission the way he explained it. V'rav matatz lo tamei. Abai matatz lo tamei. Ein b'azar v'shosh nenela akol odem b'Yisrael. When the doors closed by Nais, there was nobody as chachma b'yiras chait kekavi ben Chal. Rav matatzel tamei, ein bezara b'shosh shenoyon. So when we close the doors, because according to Rav, we close the door, akol yisrael b'chachma b'yiras chait kekavi ben Chal. Tana abonim, even though it was such a huge crowd in the azara, me'olam lo in the smach odin b'azara, no one was ever crushed. Chutz mi'pesach achad, besides one pesach, shoy ben mehelo shenespach b'zaken echad, one zaken got crushed, Rachman Tzlon, they Pesach Mu'uchim. And they called him the crushed Pesach. So first mask, we know that Shluchim Mitzvah in the Zaykin. So how did this happen? So B'makom Shechicha Zayki, if you come to a place where it's such a dangerous, then you can't rely on that. Tana Abonim, Pamach Spikish Agrifus HaMelech Litiv Eino Bechlusa Yisrael. He wanted to take a census. Omei L'Koin Godel, 10 Anecha B'sochim. We should count how many carbon B'sochim are brought. Not L'Koyim Mikol Echad. They took the kidney from every Korban Pesach. They found 600 pairs of kidneys. That means 1,200,000 kidneys. Now, take into consideration the chutz mitamei b'shahayu b'derech rechayka. People who are tamei or derech rechayka didn't come to the Pesach. Vein l'chol kol Pesach ha-Pesach shloi nimolov yoyser masar b'nei Adam. The minimum group is 10 people. So every kloyer represents one group. That means there were at least 12 million people in the Azara on that Erev Pesach. They called the Pesach of a large group. And the Mefarshim say, why did it say Pesach Mu'uvin? It should say Pesach Merubin. So they said, because before we said Pesach Mu'uchin, so now we say Pesach Mu'uvin. Ask the Gemara, not the kloyer. They took the kidney. Habayak Tura. The kidney has to burn. So they put it back and burnt it. You can't mix different kidneys. Says each kidney was burnt separately. You can't separate the kidney from the fat. What they did was they put out the kidney. There's another person that took a bean for every kidney that they showed him. He took the bean and they counted the beans and the kidneys weren't separated, they were burnt together with everything else. And the question that the Mefarshim asked is very obvious. Why do you have to go through this whole process? He should have just done what the Torah says. Everybody should have given a machzis a shekel. So Mefarshim answered, he didn't just want to take a census of how many Jews there were. He wanted to take account of how many people were bringing the Korban Pesach, how many people could fit into the Azara one day. So just taking a census wouldn't have given that number. So we learned Kahanim, Oimdim, Shurus. They sat in rows, stood in rows. My Tama. Ilem Dimo Shakli Dehava Omayo the Kaswan. We said one, the row of gold was gold, the row of silver was silver. Why? So if you're worried that you're going to get an exchange, start with gold and end up with silver. And like Rashi explains, the halach is malim b'kodesh, ve'meridim, always go up, you don't go down. Hachanami, We may start off with a less expensive bowl, or Mylan Bar Mei. You may start off with a $200 bowl and with a $100 bowl. He says it's just nicer not to have a mixture of silver and gold. Silver should stay with silver, and gold should stay with gold. They didn't have bottoms. All the pans that were used in the Migdash, Lohayel and Shalayim, did not have flat bottoms, because we didn't want the blood to congeal. Besides the pans that they put the levina in, because we're worried that if they may put the pan, since it doesn't have a flat bottom, they may rest them on the bread, and it'll break the bread. So that's why we made a flat bottom. They shouldn't come to break the bread. They shouldn't come to break the bread.